Our gospel reading this morning comes from the 24th chapter of Luke's gospel, beginning in verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly, two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you when he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O risen Christ, you make all things new. So as we hear this news of new life, renew our minds to renew the world by living out your commandment of love. Amen. Mr. Rogers was a sniper during the Vietnam War. His cardigan sweaters were just to conceal all the tattoos on his arms. Bill Gates will give you $5,000 if you'll share his social media post. Pizzagate! President Barack Obama wanted to run for a third term. And oh, look, here's a picture of Teddy Roosevelt riding a moose across a river. You know what all those things have in common? They're all fake news. I always assumed that that term just emerged in the previous election cycle, or maybe slightly before, but apparently it's been around since the 1890s. False or misleading information, either in the interest of advertising revenue or to influence public opinion. Apparently, there are people who study these things. They say that fake news comes in several different forms. Two of them will be very familiar to you. First, there's misinformation. That is false information that is shared honestly, like your grandmother forwards a post that says, if you drink this concoction of tea and cabbage and turmeric before you go to bed every night, you'll lose 20 pounds in 2 weeks. The fat will just melt off, it tells you. Fake news. Grandma doesn't mean any harm. She's just trying to be helpful. That's misinformation. And then there's disinformation. That's, we know it's not true, but perhaps we can convince you that it is. And that's what shows up in elections and partisan posts and rhetoric. Fake news. Now, disinformation is obviously the most dangerous of those. Tim Berners-Lee is the computer scientist at Oxford and MIT who created the World Wide Web. By the way, it wasn't Al Gore. That's more fake news. Tim Berners-Lee says that the problem of fake news must be resolved if the internet is going to be able to truly serve humanity. So why does any of that matter on Easter Sunday? It matters because in this story we just heard from Luke's gospel, the resurrection is initially dismissed as just more fake news. Jesus had been crucified by the Romans on Friday. Early on Sunday morning, women come to prepare the body, something that was not possible in the waning daylight hours before the Sabbath began on Friday. When they arrive at the tomb, they discover that the large stone has been rolled away from the entrance. They enter but do not find Jesus. Instead, they are greeted by two men in dazzling clothes. "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" they ask. "He is not here, but has risen." Immediately, the women take that message to the disciples, who receive it with skepticism. "It is an idle tale," they say. Fake news, in other words. Guy goes to his barber and he's all excited. He says, "I'm going to Rome. I'm flying Alitalia and staying at the Rome Hilton, and I'm going to see the Pope." The barber is unimpressed. "Alitalia is a terrible airline," he says. "The Rome Hilton is a dump, and when you see the Pope, you'll probably be in line, standing in line behind 10,000 other people." So the guy goes to Rome and he comes back. The barber asks, "How was it?" "Great," the man says. "Alitalia is a fabulous airline. The hotel was magnificent, and I got to meet the Pope." "You met him?" the barber asks. "Yeah," the man says. "I bent down to kiss his ring." The barber can't believe it. "You got to kiss the Pope's ring? What did he say?" The man looks the barber right in the eye and says, "The Pope asked, 'Where'd you get that crummy haircut?'" Now, the disciples want the women to know that they don't believe their crummy story, their idle tale. You've heard me say this before, but that word that's translated, an idle tale, is New Testament gutter language. The Greek word is leros, which means bull hockey or manure or a host of other things I cannot say from this pulpit if I want to keep my job, which I do. In today's context, leros just means fake news. But let's be honest. By today's standards, there's a whole lot of what Jesus teaches that sounds like bull hockey. Love your enemies. Turn the other cheek. What did you do for the least of these? Go to the back of the line instead of being first. The greatest among you will be the servant of all. Come on. That's fake news, right? In a world as divided and torn as ours, the gospel, the good news, sounds like fake news. It is so absolutely countercultural that it doesn't even sound real. But that's the thing about Easter. What appears to be fake news turns out to be the best news ever. Because the resurrection takes everything that is fake and terrible and deadly in the world and turns it into good news. It's good news for Jesus, to be sure, but it's also good news for any and all of us who face circumstances that are dark or bloody or cold or mean or horribly unjust or just plain wrong. Which, in fact, is not only happening on the news, but happens to all of us all the time. The good news means that though death may win a battle here and there, it can never win the war against love. Barry Shepherd is a retired Presbyterian pastor. Some years ago, he was flying back to the States from Scotland carrying a large metal Celtic cross from the Isle of Iona, very similar to our cross here. Shepherd had wrapped the cross carefully in layers of paper and padding. He didn't trust baggage handlers, so he chose to carry it onto the plane himself. You can imagine, as he approached the TSA scanner, agents started to eye him with some suspicion. The package was roughly the same size and shape as an automatic weapon. But when the outline of a 2-foot-tall Celtic cross appeared on the screen, everybody relaxed. Once the flight landed, Shepherd made his way into customs at the airport. "Do you have anything to declare?" they asked. "Only this cross," Shepherd said. The agent looked down and scribbled something on a form. Shepherd looked over to see what he was writing. It said, "Item of a sentimental nature, of little or no value." That's the question this morning, isn't it? Does the cross, and by extension the resurrection, hold any value? Or is it just an idle tale? Here's what I want you to hear if you hear nothing else this morning. Easter says that death turns out to be the fake news. Resurrection is good news. And the good news is that God's love always wins out in the end. Because Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Amen.